David. So, who's your favorite Marvel superhero, but is also a word for a bright or a jarring light? For me, I'd have to say it's Stark.
All right, welcome back. This is Neat Beans and Collard Greens, episode 3.
Oh,
my name is David Gatlin.
This is David Gatlin. I'm Brian Hopps. Wow, I am tripping all over myself this episode.
That's okay.
Oh, it's hard to trip all over yourself when you've got 8 legs and 3 arms because, you know, they can't see me. They don't know.
Do you know how hard it is to be a single mother with no arms?
God, that is a deep reference that no one will understand except for us and people in the 2018 Phantom Regiment. Okay, so this week we have 2 very special guests who are joining us in the podcast. And let's do a fun little thing, David, where I'm going to give a description of one of them. And then they're going to say their name and tell me what I got wrong. So
okay, sounds good.
Up first.
Wait, do you want to give the description of mine and I'll give a description of yours?
Sure. Yeah. Right, we'll claim our guests instead of just letting them be their own people.
No, it's mine.
Okay. Well, David's guest is actually a sentient ball of light with tendrils emitting from all directions. It's kind of like an effervescent bluish chartreuse with a hint of lavender coming out of it. They're also the sound editor, Ravi. So, Ravi, say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
An effervescent ball of light.
An effervescent ball of light with many roots and thorns and tendril. What did you say?
I said tendrils of lavender and chartreuse.
I smell like laundry.
I meant the colors, not the smells, but okay.
How do you smell like a color, Brian? Colors don't smell.
Lavender has a smell. Wait, what are you
Art
talking
is an
about?
Abstract
All right, David,
concept.
Go ahead. Introduce the other one.
Okay, Brian's guest, although I know him not that well, is a person, I believe. I can't really tell. I'm staring at the face right now, and Yeah, I'm trying to guess. I also smell hints of lavender somehow.
It's just a bunch of lavender boys.
So, yeah, we're just a bunch of lavender boys today. he also has 11 fingers, 6 toes, and 2 arms. This is Rashad.
Okay.
Green. That was the best I could do.
Oh,
I'm not as creative as Brian.
And we want to know what he got right? Because he got...
No,
yeah,
Rashad, just introduce
arms.
Yourself. We'll skip the part that
We'll
that
skip
I got
the
wrong.
Part that you got absolutely wrong. Yes, I'm Rashad. I'm Brian's guest. As you can tell, not David's guest, because he doesn't know anything about me.
No.
And I've known Brian since middle school and high school through the music world. And we're still together.
I think that's pretty cool that you guys have known each other, what, almost 10 years probably?
Probably.
Well, we almost never met each other because I'm going to go ahead and tell this story right at the top.
Oh, okay.
Rashad got me silent lunch in the 7th grade because he and our other friend Thomas they're both playing trumpet at the time, and they had a reed case, like a little plastic thing, and they were just throwing it back and forth at each other in the section.
Trumpets don't use reeds.
Because they got it from the saxophones who sat in front of them. So
got it.
They were throwing it back and forth at each other. And I think Thomas was at the end or Rashad at the end. Who knows? But whoever it was didn't catch it. And so it flew down into the trombones. And then they both were looking at me like, Brian, throw it back. Brian, throw it back. Just like really aggressively. And I was like, no, I'm trying to pay attention in class. And then eventually they got to the point where I was like, okay, let me just like kick this back over to him. So I like leaned down, did like a low toss kind of thing. And then our teacher, who I will not name, like immediately stopped the class dead and was like, Brian Hopps, what are you doing? And I was like, she's like, silent lunch. And I was like, is this for real right now? And so then I had silent lunch that day because of Rashad and Thomas.
Who got off scotch-free.
Yep. Nothing happened to them. Even though they were the ones yelling at me in class. So somehow another time Rashad got me in trouble in jazz band for making a your mom comment to the teacher under his breath and I laughed at it.
Sounds like when the Brian teacher gets said Brian, all the crap, while oh, Rashad yeah. gets away clean every
oh,
time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, our teacher yeah. said something, and Rashad went, just like your mom. And I busted out laughing, and the teacher went, Mr. Hops, what's so funny? And I was like, I cannot repeat it to you, otherwise you will send me to the principal. And he went, all right, don't let it happen again. And then we moved on with class.
That's pretty funny.
All right. David, you want to go ahead and tell stories about Robbie?
Yeah,
David,
sure.
Do we mean, have a story like that?
I mean, we have one big story that I don't know if you want to tell.
You start. Ooh, I don't remember
scandal.
Which one.
Ooh. Juicy.
Okay.
I wish the audience could see
I'm going to avoid that at all costs, just
but
in case.
You brought it up.
I did bring it up, but sorry. So me and Robbie, oh gosh, we met. I don't even know how we met. I don't have that good of memory. Do you remember?
No, that's how I was going to defer to you. I know it was in middle school, but I don't know if it was...
Yeah, and it was weird because I'm a percussionist and Ravi was a horn player. So it wasn't like we intentionally tried to hang out, but it just like naturally... Because another one of my friends that I won't name also was also a horn player. I was better friends with these two horn players than I was with any of the percussionists.
Wait, now when you say horn player, you mean like just horns in general or like did Ravi play French horn?
French horn.
French horn.
Sorry.
Hey,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and then me and Ravi were friends until 10th grade, and then we took a little hiatus. And then he still doesn't remember, and I'm still
like, I genuinely still don't remember.
No, that's okay. I'll give him a little hint in our little chat. So we took a little hiatus. And then
okay, so David has referenced a mountain range. Apparently they went hiking together one time, and I think Ravi got lost and David didn't go back and look for him is what I'm understanding.
Yeah,
based
yeah.
on this.
Ravi okay. left me actually.
Oh,
yeah,
I
he got it. He got it. Okay, so we took a little hiatus, and then that same hiatus actually brought us back together. It was like sophomore or junior year. Pretty soon after that. So,
man, high school's a blur, dude.
High school is absolutely a blur. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Robbie, what would you say your least favorite quality of David is?
Let's not answer that.
This is just going to be community roast.
Community roast session for an hour. But I think some of my fondest memories come from our trip to Winter Park, Colorado. We took
yes,
a band trip.
There's some good stories
okay,
there.
Good. We took a band trip to Winter Park, Colorado, and me, a percussionist, roomed with three French horn players, including like basically the third musketeer of the two that are already here. So it was fun times.
Can we tell a story from that?
You can tell us. I really don't remember
yes.
anything.
Okay,
you tell
I'm not
story.
A very good storyteller, but I'll give this a shot. So it was...
It's okay. Neither is Rashad, but he's here.
So we had...
That was bad.
So this was like our Winter Park senior trip for band. It was like the thing that everybody got to do their junior or senior year, and everyone looked forward to. We went to Winter Park, Colorado, which is a ski resort. And for whatever reason, the band directors and whatever the parent teacher association is called, they decided that it would be good to play
the PTA.
They decided it would be a smart idea to put all of these high schoolers into a condo. So we each got four per room, a condo with the full like beds, the pull out couches, the kitchen, the dishwasher, the television, everything. Their mistake was thinking that we were responsible enough to live in one of those condos. So, one of
what
the
was
nights,
it, 3 days.
Yeah. Do you remember the grocery trip? Okay, the grocery. That's a whole.
I don't remember
story.
This at all.
Okay, so
I have a horrible memory.
We flew into Colorado, and then in like the little village at the base of the mountain or whatever, we picked up a whole bunch of groceries. Anyways, we get to the middle of the week, and we're like, we should make some. Pancakes. That's what we want to do for breakfast. And so the stove, we were like hunting through all of the kitchen utensils that they provided. And so there's a couple pots and pans, there's silverware, this and that. But we couldn't find like an appropriate pan for pancakes. they were always like skillets or like pots or something like that. And so, but we did find a baking pan. We found a baking pan. And so we're like, you know, the stove. So we looked at the stove and it wasn't a very advanced condo. It had the coil stoves and we're like, this is a pan, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, so we could probably make pancakes on this thing. So we took the baking pan and we set it on top of two of the coils on the stove and we turned the two coils on and we started to make pancakes on it. And things were going well until we started to see smoke come out of the pan and the stove. At which point we flipped the pan over it and saw that it had partially melted through the baking pan. And at this point, like it was like charred. It was like partially on fire. There's smoke everywhere. And we set the fire alarm off for the entire condo. And so the fire alarm's going off. We all go outside and the literally firemen appear in their full gear and everything at our apartment door or our condo door or whatever. And they have to sit there and deal with the situation. And you remember we got a talking to or whatever, like, you do not make pancakes with utensils that are not meant for pancakes.
Yeah.
And that's the story.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful life lesson.
That's,
you know,
probably my best story from high school.
Don't try and make pancakes with non-pancake approved utensils. Yeah. You know, there's a lesson in there that directly relates to drum corps, I'm sure, somehow.
You know, yeah.
Oh, man, it just got real dark in here with that much shade.
I think, hey now.
Wow.
Hey now.
This is what dreams
are made of.
So I think that's a good amount of story time. Do you want to move on?
Yeah. Okay. So this, I think, is an interesting kind of group discussion question. For everyone to kind of talk about, and that is, what kind of like drew you towards music / has kept you there? Because David, you're about to be a music educator soon, hopefully. Up in like, yep, the next couple months you'll get a job. Ravi, you do like sound production and songwriting, which we'll plug you at the end, don't worry. And then Rashad, you are about to finish your master's in percussion performance.
Yes.
Right? I want to make sure I got the degree right. At UMass, correct?
Correct.
UMass, yeah. With so, Colin, like, McNutt, right?
Everyone.
I'm just kidding.
Rashad's face says
he's very confused on who I'm talking about, but that's okay.
But yeah, so like everyone does something like super involved with music, except for myself, because that's
Brian doesn't do anything involving music ever.
Yeah, never. I don't even listen to music. It's all just like jumbled words. Why wouldn't you just say the things you want to say with your mouth? Why would you need an instrument to do it?
Before we start this question, I do want to point out something. When I was in high school, I had already figured out what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach music. Or be involved in music somehow. And Ravi, my best friend at the time, but now, I was trying to convince him to,
I was
like,
going
to
say, what's the at the time mean?
Well, like, he's still also one of my best friends. But at the time, he was like, we talked the most of my friends, is what I'm saying. So I was trying to convince him to do drum corps with me and all this stuff. And he was like, so we went to multiple drum corps auditions together, along with the Third Musketeer. we went to multiple auditions together and stuff. And I was always telling Ravi, like, Ravi, let's like come to Sam with me and the other person, because we're going to do music. We're going to have a lot of fun. And he was like, no, I want to go to A&M. I want to do engineering. I want to do all this stuff. And I was like, cool. You're smarter than both of us. Go do it. A couple of months ago, I got I got a text from Ravi that said, David, you were right. And I said, about what? And he said, I'm going to Berklee College of Music. And I was like, you idiot. I've been telling you that for 10 years. So I was super excited that he was going to start pursuing music a little bit more. So I just want to.
All right, so
nice.
Ravi or Rashad, who wants to go first in your kind of why you do music?
Rashad, you go ahead. I already told my story.
All right, Rashad's going first. So I started music, if we go back to shortly after the womb days, because my brother and sister did music, and so it was all around the house in terms of practicing and all that. I wanted to do that when I got to the middle school time, and there's like a 10-year gap, so they were gone for a lot of this. But yes, and once I got there, my brother had done a brass instrument, French horn, just like Ravi, and then my sister had done a woodwind instrument, clarinet, and so I literally just chose the third option in the band world, and so percussion just fell into my lap that way. And from there,
and that must have really hurt because those
there's a lot of weight there.
Technically, a piano is a percussion instrument,
and piano is too. And I got to play that. I got interested in piano because I realized, oh, it looks just like the marimba. So every single thing I learned on marimba in band class, I just put it on my fingers for the piano. Anyway, all throughout grade school, the interest in music just kept going. I'm the type that like just loves to learn different things. Brian had alluded earlier, we were in jazz band together, but I did not do percussion. I did trombone with Brian.
What? So, I didn't know that.
Oh, and so.
Yeah, that's why Rashad got me in trouble, because he sat right next to me.
Also true, yes.
But he was also the buffer between me and someone else who, that's a whole other story.
Oh, true. Yes. Got to watch out for a friend. Yes. And we'll get to there later. So then comes, I don't know, I did a lot of auditions and all this extra stuff thanks to my private teacher, and I was so bent on this dream of becoming an orchestral musician in an orchestra, the percussionist that's back there doing, you know, just waiting 100 plus measures just to play a triangle note. That was my dream for whatever reason. And I went to college to pursue, and then because I actually realized this kind of the other day, because Brian was asking a question that I don't even remember, but I was thinking to myself, why did I actually switch to jazz? And I'm realizing that, like, yes, I may like hearing the professionals, but the unfortunate thing is, like, when you hear something at a 10 and then you keep playing with something at like a 5 or below, it just like takes away that drive in a way, because you're just like, well, what the heck? I'm not even having fun anymore because we're not doing what those guys are doing. And so there was a mix in there, and then jazz came along and I'm like, oh, this is fun. And so I just went over there to learn that. And then the same thing kind of happened where I was like all engaged and trying to get into the jazz world, and then seeing all the professionals like, oh, they sound so great. And then playing with people. I don't mean this with any conceit, but just because of in college, I did find a lot more people that I did enjoy playing with, but unfortunately in terms of like ensembles, it wasn't always there. So, I got kind of deterred in that as well. However, where am I going with this? However, in the end, I still do know that I do want to perform in some capacity. That's just the main thing, perform for a living. And I obviously teach private lessons, but, I'm still going to try and make best of both worlds and see if I can get all these classical gigs and get all of the jazz gigs or whatever I can get. That's what I was doing during my grad year. I was getting both while in school. School sucks. And then that was actually fun. And so the goal really is just to make that full time when the school part is finally done. And I think that's why I'm still in it, because it is still the passion. And I know that if I did a job that wasn't music performance involved, I would be waking up 9 to 5 hating life. Yeah, let that sit for a bit. And so
you have to say let that sit for a bit. It doesn't sit the way you
ruin everything.
And yeah, that's it though. What Brian didn't include is the next steps for Rashad is one more year of school, and yeah, only one more year because it's free. Otherwise, I'm not paying for more. So that's in University of Miami. And it's called an artist diploma. But yeah, we'll be pursuing that. And then officially the real world begins.
Nice.
I popcorn to Ravi.
All right.
I popcorn.
So remind
me
real
quick. You don't want a kettle corn? Sorry.
Remind me real quick what the question was. Is it just like our story?
With music? Yeah, kind of just like what got you excited about music? Like, how did you find that this is kind of what you want to do? You know?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So my story is a little bit topsy turvy. It definitely isn't the most direct path as far as music is concerned. So like where it all started for me was when I was in middle school. My dad just up and decided to go to Guitar Center one day, and he brought home a keyboard. And so he played it every now and then, but you know, it was one of those things where he'd like touch it once and then he wouldn't touch it for like another week and then come back to it, this and that. Anyways, I didn't have much to do as a middle schooler, so I farted around a little bit on that piano. And basically I just started to fall in love with music and the instrument, and I started to just teach myself a bunch of songs off of YouTube or off of whatever Spotify was at the time. I don't know, LimeWire.
yeah, LimeWire. Heck yeah.
I've never Frostwire. Heard of that.
This is like 2005, 2006. No, but I started to just fall in love with the instrument. And really, I think the beginnings of music for me was on YouTube, whenever that was in its infancy. And so what I would do is I'd teach myself how to play these songs on the piano just by ear. And then I'd I started with covers on YouTube. And then some people were like, oh, like, it'd be cool if you could teach me how to play this. And I was like, okay, let's try and do that. And so I made some piano tutorials on YouTube that actually, like, for a little while kicked off. I think, like, there's this one I did for I Got a Feeling by the Black Eyed Peas that ended up, I think if you go look it up on YouTube right now, it's got a couple, like, 100,000 views. And it was, like, YouTube in its infancy days and this and that. And so did that. And then in middle school, started on the French horn in sixth grade. And so just kind of, that's where the love for music really was born out of. I did marching band in high school with David, of course. And, really, I guess when it came time to decide what's up for college, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. Like culturally, like coming from a more South Asian background, it's very, it's kind of expected of you to go into more of like a STEM type role. And that's like, you know, that's what my sister was doing. That's what people in my family, family friends, stuff like that were doing. And so it's almost like a cultural pressure that you need to go into a STEM type role. You need to do something that gets you a stable job, that gets you a stable income, this and that. And I mean, I was decent at math and science enough that I was like, engineering might be the route for me to go. I didn't know. And so I went to Texas A&M and I got a degree in petroleum engineering. And I've always been the type where, like, I don't ever want to drop the ball no matter what task I'm given. So, like, I worked and worked and worked, and I got an internship, and that turned into a full-time position. And so where I'm at today is I've been out of school for about 2 years now, working for the same company that I interned for in college, full-time in corporate America. Just like Rashad said, like the 9-to-5 world, a whoop. And basically, I'm just coming full circle back around to music and realizing that that's what has truly made me happy this whole time. Because, I mean, I've got the nice salary. I've got the stability. I've got the benefits and this and that. But, I mean, there's like a lack of fulfillment that I've started to feel and realize over the last probably year or so. And so I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, I'm going to try and get this degree from Berkeley. I'm going to try and use this money towards something that I think will make me happy in the long run. And so in September of last year, I started a music production degree via Berkeley Online. Still working full time just for the time being to build up my savings. And then what the future looks like for me is going full time for a year or two, just basically, just the way I see it is like I'm letting the chains off. I just want to like see what I can do if I gave music my 100% for a year or two. And yeah, that's kind of my story and where I'm headed with it. It's just a love for the art, and I don't know, music just makes me happy. So, a whoop.
Stop whooping.
I have to. I'm an ag.
One other thing that me and Robbie have in common about music, we have Berkeley. I love my university, actually. We have a quote-unquote favorite band in common.
Yeah.
Hands Like Houses.
Hey, Brian knows.
Yes, sir. Okay, did I get it right?
Yeah, it's Hands Like Houses. Ooh, we see them Is it three times now?
Yeah.
In Texas?
I think more than that, actually. Probably four.
It's three or four. It's three or four. Every time they've come to Houston in the past, like, I want to say 3 years, we've seen them. So it might be four.
Nice.
But it's not even that we listen to them every day anymore. I mean, I do sometimes. Ravi does sometimes. But it's more of like the fact we get to hang out. So it's like, hey, Hans is coming to Houston. Let's go. And you're like, okay. And like, even if we haven't listened to them in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait, whose hands are coming to Houston? Anybody whose arms they're attached to?
That's a terrible joke.
Rashad just gave me a fat thumbs down.
I'm going to give you two thumbs down.
And that's two more. Ravi, you want to finish it off?
I'll give you a thumbs up. That was a quality
My joke. Man. This guy gets it.
But yeah, so it's cool that, and that's how me and Ravi connect. Like, I think honestly, the only times I've got to see him in the past 4 years have been at these concerts. So every time they come in, I'm like,
that's kind of the one of the best things about music is that it brings people together, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think it's cool if you take that idea. Obviously, I might be talking too much, but if you take that idea and like apply it to teaching music, it's really cool because you get to implement what you think brings people together into youngins or into high school students or into college kids that want to do it forever. It's really cool to see the passion that, from a teacher's standpoint, it's cool to see the passion that kids have for music.
The good ones.
Rashad, what was that?
The friendly ones.
Okay, got it.
Ravi, how long is it? You said you were going to try music, the whole music thing, for about a year or two.
How long has it been?
1 to 2 years. How long has it been since you started that?
3.5.
Wait, that'd be good.
So basically, like, the 1 to 2 years is going to be just like, I'm going back to being a full-time student. And just give it 100% my all, because I mean, up to this point, I mean, unless you count like middle school or something, there's never been a time in my life where music was the 100% thing I'm focused on. Cause like, even today, like, I'm working 40 hours a week, and trying to do music and all this stuff on the side. And so I think really just the big, I guess like, determining factor is just how much savings I have built up. Cause I mean, this is like 100% on my own. I'm paying for the degree on my own. I got to do housing and food and all that fun stuff. So.
Well, cool. I'm glad you're dabbling in it before you dive into the deep end.
What is the program exactly?
So it's an online program through Berklee, and it's, a bachelor's of professional studies in music production. So I tried dabbling in the artist route a little bit. And while I'm not going to give that up entirely, I think my taste for like the engineering side of music is really where my passion lies. And so basically this is like all this, the recording fundamentals, like whenever you go into a studio session, you record drums or vocals or what have you, this is the post-processing. This is like editing all the crap together, mixing it, making it sound good, all that stuff.
And then is it, because it's a bachelor's, do you still have to do that for 4 years or?
Yeah, so it's the full 4 year degree. I was able to test out of 1 year just because I already do have an undergrad degree. So it's shorter and cheaper.
But, okay.
Still a full 4 years.
Ooh, baby.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Is this the shaggy dog? Because woof.
Jesus Christ.
I will say it's not unheard of for me. I have a friend of mine that is now a teacher. Got a, it was either 4 or 5 year a nursing degree from Texas A&M. People from A&M like to get multiple degrees. It's like they don't like A&M or something. Anyways, he did. Wow. No, he did a 4 or 5 year nursing degree and then like worked as a nurse for, I don't know, a year or something like that. And then he was like, no, I wanted to do music. So he came to Sam Houston and did another 4 year degree. It's just like, oh my gosh, I barely want to get a master's and add two.
Sure.
I don't know. There's some people that just really like school out there.
Yeah, the doctors.
Brian, real quick, tell us about your degree and a little bit of what you did in college.
Oh, about what I did in college? Okay, so I went out and I party. I'm kidding. I think I went to like
you did.
One party in 5 years.
One party per day.
In 5 years. So I guess like I started out doing music my freshman year, and I studied music, played trombone, did like the whole thing. And then after like the first year, I just kind of had this moment where I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, this is something I enjoy, but if I have to do it where it's like the only thing I do all the time, like I kind of hate it now, kind of thing. And so I was like, it's very interesting and it's very neat. It's very cool. And like, mad props, mad respect to everyone who does do it and does want to do it. But for me, I kind of reached a point where I was like, this isn't really what I want to do. So then I was undeclared for a semester, kind of just taking core classes, getting my requirements done. And I had to take a self-staging and oral communication and daily life class, which is about giving presentations, conducting interviews, and talking to people. Which, as anyone who's listened to me talk on this show knows, I did not learn much because words are hard. But no, I took that class, and there was a theater professor who was also the lighting design professor at our school. And when we went and sat down and conducted our interview, I just put like all of any like work experience I had doing any kind of jobs on my resume. And there was 3 years of technical theater, like construction work on my resume. And he kind of looked at it and he was like, wait, what's your deal? And I was like, oh yeah, I just did this and blah, 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 blah. And we kind of talked about that. And then he like, because it was like a mock interview in his office in the theater building. He went, we're going to pause this. And he got up, walked me across the hall to the scenic design professor's office. He goes, this is Brad. You need to meet him. And then like sat me down. He said, come back over after you guys have talked for a second. And then I like talked to this guy. He was like, yeah, cool. We can talk to like getting you on this track to do this, this, and this. And then they also offered me a student assistantship working in the scene shop, like in that same meeting. And then I went back and finished my interview and got an A on that. And then I started doing theater the next semester. And I did scenic and lighting design primarily for 3 years. I also took costume design classes, screenwriting classes. I just had like, I learned a lot about storytelling, I guess is the way to say it. I also learned how to make shadow puppets, which was a whole thing and a very involved process. It was fun. It was cool. I'm kind of rambling at this point. But yeah, and I also did drum corps. So like I did drum corps even after I decided I didn't want to do music anymore as like a full-time thing. Because just had this like deep love for the activity and just really enjoyed it. But yeah, my degree is in theater, and then I did freelance work for like a month or so in the area doing lighting, hang and focuses, and carpentry work. And then I started a job in environmental services in a hospital, and then a week later, the World Health Organization said, hey, here's a national pandemic. And I went, oh, cool. So that's kind of the fast forward history that I've gone through. Yeah.
That's really cool.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. It came in handy when we worked together over the summer.
Yeah, because you didn't know what you were doing.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, like I still have my trombone, and I actually last night was like, I kind of want to crack that bad boy out and play it. And then I was going to do it when I got home from work and remembered that it was midnight. And I probably shouldn't just play trombone really loud in my house at midnight because people are trying to sleep.
So is trombone your principal instrument?
Yes. Yeah. I started on saxophone in the sixth grade. And then the second year I picked up trombone as like my second instrument. And after the second, like after seventh grade, our band director looked at me and was like, hey, you should consider doing trombone because you're much better at it than saxophone. And I was like, that's fair. Yeah. Okay. I'll switch. And so then I started playing trombone as my principal instrument and did that for a couple of years. Learned euphonium so I could audition for the Phantom Regiment. In 2016, this is a real fun little story real quick. In 2016, as like we were auditioning for the season, I had worked as like a volunteer roadie for 2014 and for part of 2014 and full summer of 2015 at Phantom Regiment. And then 2016, I like got contracted and performed with them. But going into the 2016 season, after the first audition camp, I got like a near perfect score in my visual audition and not so great a score in my music audition because I didn't play euphonium like super well at the time. And so after like that, after the second audition camp, the brass caption head who had known me for 2 years, who I love Christian so much, he's a gem and like a king among men. And he messaged me on Facebook one afternoon, like I was sitting at home, like I think I was about to sit down to like watch TV or something. And I got a message that said, "Hey Brian, are you a music major?" And I was like, "Not anymore. No, sir." And he said, "Okay, do you take private lessons?" And I was like, "Not right now." And he said, "Well, you should probably start." And he followed up with, "You should probably start because of the X amount of euphonium players, your music score is the lowest of the group." Yeah. And I was just like, and I remember like having this moment where I was just like looking at my phone. I was like, "Dang, this man really just said that to me." And he's like, "At your school, like the euphonium professor there, like I went and did my master's like with him. Like I know him; he's really good. Talk to him; like he can get you where you need to be." And I was like, "Okay, great. What do I need to work on specifically?" And he's like, "Work on this, this, and this." And I went, "Okay, cool." And then I literally like closed out Facebook Messenger, opened up my email, and he's also the marching band director. And I was like, "Hi, I just talked to you, blah blah blah, and he said I need to talk to you if I want to march band or marching band." And then I started lessons the next week.
Nice.
But yeah, so yeah, and that literally, it was like, that was the moment where I was just like, oh man, that was also part of the reason that I was like, I'm not gonna try and do this professionally. But like, I'd already made that decision beforehand, but that was just a fun little like wake up call, was the, "Hey, yeah, you have the lowest score out of 34 euphoniums, but you have the highest visual score and we want you to march." And I was like, "Okay, got it. I'll figure my stuff out."
What a, so you just averaging out, spread yourself out.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
So that's the guy who taught at Brevard, right?
The guy who gave me lessons, yeah.
What? Right, okay. What's his name?
Okay.
Never Chris? Wait. Don't do that.
Is his name Chris? Oh, right. His name's not Chris.
Not Chris. You're doing great, Rashad. So proud of you. No. I mean, he's the euphonium professor at the University of West Georgia. His name is Dr. Kale Self. But yeah, and so I don't know, that's kind of it. And then I did, like, still did marching band at West Georgia for the 2016 like fall season, and then everyone was like, "Are you coming back next year for marching band?" And I went, "Absolutely not." And they went, "Why not?" And I went, "Because my last performance ever will be in Lucas Oil Stadium." And they were like, "Are you sure?" And I went, "Yes, absolutely." So
that's funny. I have a similar story to that.
I think that's the last time I like seriously played an instrument.
And now we can make P-Bone duets together.
Yes, Rashad, you and I will start playing P-Bone duets. Stay tuned for, we'll figure out a cool, funny name for it later. What, Rashad, you don't like a cool, funny name?
Just, I'm worried.
I'm worried.
That's fair.
Mr. David, yeah, David, you had something. What were you saying?
I can tell my music story.
Yeah, but you already did.
Did I not? I told how I met Ravi.
Yeah, no. David, like, tell your story.
Yeah, okay, go like, ahead. Ravi's like, story. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'll just start at the very beginning. I was 18 months old and my mom walked into the kitchen and I was playing on different shaped pots and pans with, this is my favorite part of the story, with wooden spoons.
Yeah. So like,
that's like, that's so cool.
The like movie version of, yes, like a kid literally learning to play. Okay. Very, yeah, interesting.
Does she have like a picture?
I don't think so, but she tells that story all the time. And I wish there was a picture. So nice. I did that. And then I started on, so they were like, "Cool, he's going to play drums." Duh. I started drum set lessons when I was 5. Did that for a couple of years. And then I got really into sports, like every, you know, 10 to 16 year old does. For like at least a period of time. That's Brian, excluding Brian. Some kids just hate all sports, and that's Brian. Anyways, so I started playing football in middle school. I started doing taekwondo. I was just doing a bunch of stuff, but music was always really where my 100% was. And I was the kind of person that I wasn't going to let my parents. My parents wanted me to do what I wanted to do, right? But they wanted me to stay active. And at that time, you know, marching band wasn't the most active thing ever in middle school. But when I got to high school, they were like, cool, like, what do you want to do? The band directors say you can play football. And I was like, Mom, I'm 5'4". I can't play football. And it just kind of sucked. I still love football. And I said that in a previous episode. It's my favorite sport. I follow it like none other. But I'm just too small to play football. So I decided I was going to quit all sports and give my 100% to the only extracurricular activity that I had, which was music. And all throughout high school, I just noticed that was the only thing I cared about. I didn't care about my classes. I wanted to do well, but like C's were okay with me. Like my sisters probably did better in like actual school, just because, I don't know. One of my sisters didn't exactly know what she wanted to do, and the other one was just a little bit more naturally smart than I was. But every time I would start in like an upper level class, I would go immediately to the lower level class just because I didn't care about it. It's not that I didn't try, or I just didn't want to care, because I wanted to care more about music. So it was a very early on passion that I followed. And I realized in high school that, because I had plenty of like drumline performance opportunities and like, concert opportunities, and I just didn't love playing, but I loved being around band specifically. And then when I got to college, it was like, hey, you have to be a good player so that you can be a good teacher, because I went into music education, and I was just like, ah, this sucks. I don't want to play. I just want to teach. Like, I'd already decided. I was pretty hard-headed. So after my first year, I took a semester off to really think about, like, is this what I want to do? And then I actually got my first opportunity to teach that summer. And I was like, yeah, this is exactly what I want to do. There's nothing else I want to do. So I'm going to go back to school and, you know, work my tail off until graduation, which is in like a week.
Hey.
So excited for that. Although this semester has been crazy, it's somehow stayed busy.
What are you talking about? This semester's been fine. Nothing has happened in the world. Everything's great.
Everything's fine. No. But yeah, it's been a music has been a part of my life forever. I still when on the other side, like me listening to music, I love finding new bands, which is why Brian's also one of my best friends, because he's better at it than I am somehow.
Yeah, he is.
So when I find new bands, I'll put on the best headphones I have and listen to the entire album for like an hour and just sit there. And it's a weird thing that most people don't do, but it's just, you know, I love being around music, and it's a passion that I hope continues when I start teaching, hopefully. Yeah.
Okay.
I also did the drum corps thing. It's where I met Brian, where I was working in drum corps. Didn't love being on staff as much as I loved performing, although it's a completely different world. Like I'm not trying to like dog being on staff, because I want to do it every year. Although this season is canceled, I want to keep doing it in some capacity somewhere. You know what I mean? But it's so different than performing. Brian, you can probably add a little bit to that, like comparing the two, just because they're so different.
Am I supposed to add something to this right now?
You don't have to. No, it's fine. You weren't paying attention. I get it.
No, I was paying attention. But I think, sorry, I was trying to figure out a way to, you were talking about the, like, how I introduced you to a bunch of new bands. And I was going to be like, yeah, Rashad, just like I showed you the band Lawrence, because Rashad claims that he found out about it 4 years ago.
Not show me Lawrence in any capacity, but that's okay.
But yeah, by the way, shout out to the band Lawrence. They're really good. Look him up.
Lawrence.
But the... Yeah,
Lawrence the, like, and the Machine?
So...
Wow.
teaching in drum corps is... I don't know. I've never taught drum corps. I always wanted to teach visual because it's like the one thing I felt like I excelled at comparatively. Like, I don't know enough about music as a whole to justify like claiming to be a teacher of how to play an instrument. But like the side of being on admin is so much, I don't know. I feel like the summer that I was there, where I was there for like a 2 month stint, I enjoyed it so much more than the summer that I was there for like 4 weeks, because that 2 months, like, it was a long 2 months, but it was 2 months where like I actually got to like meet a bunch of the members and really get to know them, and it felt more like being an involved part of the drum corps rather than someone who like showed up, fixed props, tried to fix the system a little bit and like figure out where things weren't working well and then try to fix those and then leave again. But where like I was there for those 2 months with David, he and I, like, we figured out how to, like, we greased wheels, literally, on, like, the props. We painted a bunch of stuff. We added, like, chicken wire netting. Shout out to Emma Adcock for that idea. When they didn't make the baskets properly underneath the props. But anyway, yeah, so, like, I don't know. If I had to pick between admin and performing member, I would pick performing member every day of the week,
mainly because you don't get the same feeling, obviously. I mean, on any kind of staff, like, I cried so many times when I performed. Aww. And like, we can bring this back to Rashad, and I'd like to hear it, because like, now I tell people on a daily basis I could wake up tomorrow without my hands and be okay because I could still teach. I tell that to performance majors all the time, and they like freak out because they don't agree with it at all. So we can bring this back to Rashad. But I still love performing. And I think if I could give anything to perform in a marching capacity, whether that's indoor drumline or DCI, I'd do it again. If I had the body to do it, you know, I don't think my body can pick up a set of quads again, honestly.
Ooh, dude, my knees could not handle another season.
Yeah, my knees could not.
Or my hips. Call me Shakira because these hips don't lie and they are tired.
But it's cool that there's so many, and like, Ravi's not even in this world that we're talking about, but he's still so involved in the music capacity. And it's just crazy how over, you know, this is vague, but over the past like 400 years, music has gone from like a listener perspective and a performer perspective to a mixer perspective. And then we still have the performer perspective and a listener perspective, but we have like 17 different things you can perform in. You can be in an orchestra, you can be in drum corps, you can be a soloist, you can be, it's, and you could play piano in your house and post YouTube videos, and like, you can be 12 years old and it'd be bad and it's still music, you know?
That's incredible. I mean, even in just the music production world, because people can make songs, you know, everything used to be in this world of analog where people recorded and mixed things live, and you literally had to burn it onto pieces of tape. And now in this digital world, everybody, like, I have this software that I can do everything in just from my desk, and it costs me like $10 a month, right? And there's a freaking plethora of YouTube videos and stuff out there. I can't say words today.
Hey, me too. What up?
Hey, me three.
But yeah, I don't know. Music.
Rashad's not talking because he's got floss in his mouth.
Yeah, I just want to point out that Rashad is currently flossing. Like, not done. The dance, people. He is cleaning his teeth.
I'm sorry, but Robbie, you were saying $10.
We had to get him.
That's okay. I'm just saying, music is accessible more than it ever was.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Was that a drum pad?
No, it was someone's chair squeaking.
Oh.
Rashad was so ready to grab his and throw down a beat.
I have sticks in the pad ready. They're right here.
All right, let's play the game. Rashad, how close is your nearest instrument that's not directly connected to your body?
Over there.
Okay, he's turned his camera so that we can see on the other corner of his bedroom. That's probably like 10.
And I can also bring a frame drum on my bed if you want.
Let's not do that.
Okay. We just wanted to see. All right, David, how close is your nearest instrument?
I would turn the computer, but there's a door in the way. It's a little bit less than Rashad's. My drum set is in the room next to me.
Okay. Ravi, how close is your nearest instrument?
Right there. With an arm reach.
He literally just moved his hand off screen and we heard him slap something. He is directly on top of his instrument.
And Brian, where is your closest instrument?
My closest instrument is in that corner of the room, just down the wall, maybe 10 to 12 feet away. It's still in the case though, so it's not accessible unless I like take the time to assemble it, because it's a trombone.
It takes 2 seconds.
More than 2 seconds, you gotta unzip the case.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's play this game. What is your favorite instrument other than your primary instrument? So like Rashad and I can't say a percussion instrument and Brian can't say a trombone instrument.
A trombone instrument?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Shut up. Okay, let's go to listen to, because I mean I know how to play, or learned how to play, air quotes, learned. Very basic, how to play every instrument, but like, I don't know how to, you know, play every instrument. Ravi is probably the most well-rounded person in here. Or Rashad. Probably Ravi or Rashad are more well-rounded, because apparently Rashad plays trombone.
It's so fun.
Anyways, Ravi, what's your favorite instrument other than guitar and piano?
To listen to or to play?
To listen to.
To listen to. I had this really big drum core phase, just like listening to just the MP3 files of like the performances from Lucas Oil and all that stuff. When you hear the brass hits and it's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
That's a
feeling, dude.
Yeah.
Gives me chills. Watching YouTube videos in bed still gives me chills.
I used to do that all the time. You remember that? There's this one sequence that Carolina Crown does every year. I think it's called Simple Gifts. I watched that YouTube video so many times. It is so emotional. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's crazy. Such a simple piece, but they just explode your face off.
Yep.
Doug, I think my favorite, my favorite drum corps recording either has to be Simple Gifts by the 2009 Santa Clara Vanguard or the 2014 Cadets. The 2009 Vanguard is like insanely good. But I saw the Cadets play it live in not Allentown, Pennsylvania, but like another stadium like that, where they were inside. I was standing in the end zone and it was just like a giant, like super steep bowl of a stadium.
Yeah.
And I remember like looking at the field, watching the Cadets play. And I was like, these fools are easily like 16 steps apart. Like they're literally end zone to end zone. No one is close enough to like actually hear the person next to them. And they are playing so insanely loud and just beautifully. And it was just like filling the whole stadium. Like
that's awesome.
Generally, I'm not a big fan of the Cadets, but I was like, this is just like rocking my world right now. So
Brian, what's your favorite secondary instrument that you want to listen to?
Mm-hmm. Oh, piano. Just like it probably stems from my like deep love of Billy Joel growing up, but I just love what's the word I'm looking for? Savory piano. I was gonna say
tickling of the ivories.
Yeah, you know what they say, ebony, ivory.
All right, Rashad,
living in perfect harmony.
For me, it would be. To listen to is interesting. I think bass or piano, but
bass what?
Bass guitar, sorry, like double bass, upright string bass, or electric, but really upright string bass.
Upright electric bass.
And so it might just be because of the significant, or at least in the pop or jazz world, the significant like drum bass relationship. A drummer and a bassist have together, and so that's why I just love hearing what my kind of rhythm section partner is doing. And, but then even on a soloistic level, they're underrepresented, you know, they're the people that people talk over that, during a concert and they're like, what, the bass player had a solo, whatever. And so, shout out to the bass players out there and piano, just cause that is a very,
versatile.
We'll go with versatile.
Versatile.
Because, you can have a you got those groovy ostinato things in your lower register. You can tinkle up in the top register. Maybe I shouldn't have said tinkle.
I tinkle at least a couple times a day.
I hate Yeah, I don't Ryan. Know
if you meant to say tinkle or tinkle.
As soon as you said that, I knew you were setting yourself up.
Twinkle. Rashad set himself up.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Tinkle, you can, tinkle, little star.
You can do so much more things. Like solo piano could actually go for a good concert. Solo drum set, unfortunately, it really depends how you present that if you're going to have a engaged audience.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So those are mine. Yeah. Good question, David. Wait, can we do play as well? I know David said like he's had to learn everything like as a music educator, but something that you actually, if you could play at the same quality as you, or the most proficiency as your top instrument, what would you choose? So this is to learn.
Right after we get through David's his favorite instrument to listen to.
I thought he went yeah, first. Because Rashad, why am I forgetting David?
Skip me. So I'll start with both because mine are the same. So not to toot Brian's horn, but favorite instrument to play and to listen to is trombone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, slide kings. Yeah.
Mainly yeah. in the setting of jazz and I don't know what you would call them. What would you call ripe? The kind of pop-ish
dance,
band that
funk,
has
Calvin Harris sounding Little Horse. Ooh.
Yeah. So my favorite thing, I'll reference two bands right now, Ripe, R-I-P-E, and Dirty Loops. Those are two bands that use real and fake, like trombone, trumpet. I think it's mainly trombone and trumpet. But I love the sound of like quote unquote pop music with like a trombone and a trumpet in the background as like an addition, kind of like what the guitar normally does, because there's too many guitars in the world and there aren't enough trombones and trumpets on pop music. I will say that.
I have two band recommendations for you that I think you would really like.
Tell me.
So the first one's called Hazy Ray. They're this really small jazz rock band that has a trombone soloist.
Jazz rock band?
Yeah. So they have a trombone soloist and they put him in all the songs. I think you'd like it a lot too. They don't make music anymore because I think they had like kids and stuff and they disbanded or whatever. But
oh, they decided to grow up?
Wow. Wow.
They did. So there's that.
But yeah, when I...
Sorry, go ahead.
When I learned trombone in college... First of all, really quick story. We were playing the chromatic scale in trombone, and if you know, it goes from first to seventh. I don't remember what note we were starting.
1-7-6-5-4-3-2-1-6-5-4. Wait.
Yeah, it goes 1-7-6-5-4-3-2-1-5-4-3-2-1.
5-4-3-2-1-4-3-2-1.
Something like that. And so you go 1-7. And so what I did is 1. Shoot, and it came off my trombone.
Yeah.
It came off, and it rolled, to the world. Or it slid, it didn't have wheels. It rolled on the ground and tapped the teacher in the foot.
Oh, my God.
We were in an arc, so it wasn't like I was on risers or anything, so it wasn't more than, you know, 10 feet, but still an amazing story I tell on my trombone friends that I just let go of my slide.
Man, when we had trombones in Phantom in 2017 for that like closing feature, mm-hmm. they sat right behind the front ensemble, but like on the sideline. But the problem is that the color guard also likes to store their equipment on the front sideline. And they also had those big like white capes at the end of the show. And so like every time as I was like coming to the front of the field and I would just see someone scrambling to put my trombone back together because it was right on the 50 and like some color guard's person's cape or whatever would like... It was sitting in the case, and it would catch the slide, pull it up over the tuning slide, like fully inverting the trombone, and just take the slide off with it, like 2 yards. And I remember like the first time I saw it happen, I was like, I'm gonna have to tell Christian that my trombone died. I don't know how to tell him. Yes. But luckily, again, shout out to Emma Adcock and Ava Frankel, because they would put my trombone back together for me before I got to that dot every time.
Oh my God.
And so like at the top of the fifth move or the top of the closer, I would always see like one of those two putting my trombone back together before they walked off with their saber and went to go spin. So I was like, all right.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's a fun
instrument. All right, let's Rashad. Finish up this question. Rashad, favorite instrument to play?
Wait, to play that I can play or to play that I want to know how to play?
That you want to know how to play.
That I want to know how to play. It's bass. I want to be my next instrument.
Bass guitar and upright bass?
Preferably upright first, but yeah, I guess both. Yeah, call me bass man. And yeah, there's no...
He went and grabbed a hand drum.
He had one right next to him. He lied to us.
I did.
Nice. Okay, Ravi, next. Favorite instrument you want to play?
To whom? Oh, Ravi.
To Ravi. We already talked to you.
What?
That's tough. That's really tough. Because I consider myself more of like a jack of all trades, master of none type.
Ah.
So you're saying you know how to play everything?
Not at all.
But not well.
You know what? I'm going to say trumpet. Trumpet's really cool.
Okay.
I feel like there's a lot you could do with it.
When played well, yes.
When played well.
Yeah. Very easy to play bad.
Trumpet screams anyone?
In my opinion.
Trumpet screams.
Ravi, remind me to send you about a video called Why There's No Trumpet Christmas. Remind me to send that to you.
For sure.
It's a lot. Okay. Is it my turn now for this question? Did I already answer this? Okay. I think for me, it would have to either be... Wait, this is like playing this instrument at the level that I can play my current like primary instrument, right?
Yeah. Or if you were still good at trombone.
Okay, there we go. Cool. That's the clarification I was looking for because I was like, I'm not good at trombone anymore.
Roasted.
I think it would have to be either piano or cornet.
Cornet?
Why'd you say cornet?
Coronet.
Wait, is that the right thing?
That's trumpet, right?
The trumpet? Yeah, the cornet.
It's a different kind of trumpet.
Mm.
Yeah. But like
cornet.
Well played cornet is just like,
why do you keep saying coronet?
Is that not how it's
said? Two syllables, cornet. My guy.
Cornet. Hang on.
Not coronet. Corona.
Coronavirus.
Oh, you're right. There is no second R. Sorry, I've been working around it, and everybody's like, "Yeah, Corona all day." So I'm like, "Okay, got it."
Cool. That's fair.
Yeah.
So we're just. I just want to point out that we're waiting on Brian to look up a word that we already told them how to pronounce. Hey,
the point is, I want to make sure they're the right thing. So yes, cornet. Excuse me, or piano, because there was a phase I went through in high school where for like 2 months straight I just would watch videos of people playing cornet, because like just it has like a sultry and again savory just like sound to it when played really really well, and piano because I just wish I had the versatility to play it and play it well.
You do, man. You just got to reach for those stars and grab them with your hands.
Okay, so you have a piano I can borrow, right? So I can start reaching for those stars.
Reach for those stars, and I mean keys.
It's easy for Rashad because he's got 11 fingers, remember?
True.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I wonder what percentage of piano you could play more if you had 11 fingers.
110%.
Considering you can't play... I mean, you could... Never mind.
Excuse me?
There's this Bollywood movie star who actually has 11 fingers. Like he has a finger going off. It has a finger going off of his thumb and it's really small. And so if you watch his movies, it's almost like a game of Where's Waldo. You like look for the scenes where you can see his extra finger.
Oh, that's man. Gross. On that note.
I wonder if he has control of it.
That'd be kind of, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
You okay? All right,
towards the end of videos, we like to do something called.
Are you looking to me for this
entry? I'm looking to Brian, okay. And he did not
Two,
catch
four,
on.
2, 4, 6, 8. What do you appreciate? So, the way this generally works is you've both listened to the podcast before, Ravi, more than anyone here, probably.
Yes.
But. Basically, we want to give you a chance to kind of just like take a moment and talk about something you really appreciate, whether it's like a new musician or something you've discovered recently that you really enjoy and like. So Rashad's hiding behind his drum, so I think that means Rashad needs to go first. Rashad, what do you appreciate?
pick the person without their hand raised.
No one has a hand raised.
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind that I still appreciate is my students' willingness to continue with remote courses, remote private instruction, because that's generally not preferred, just admittedly. Like, for most musicians that take lessons, they want the in-person interaction. If they do it remotely, usually it's like a one and done. But these students have continued weekly, and me trying to make income losing all of those gigs, I'm very thankful for that. So I guess just giving a shout out to one, teachers that are still willing to do remote teaching, and then even more so the students that are willing to accept what the situation is and still be willing to learn from their remote setting. So the concept of remote private instruction in general. Cool. Yeah.
Cool.
Carry on.
And he's behind his drum again. Ravi, what do you appreciate, big dog?
Rashad, stop.
Dude, he's finding new sounds. Maybe this is a bit of a sappy answer, and I was kind of thinking of it earlier while we were all talking about our stories, but what I appreciate is that there are creatives and inspirationals in the world like the three of y'all who just have this like fire and this passion for music, which is really like inspiring for someone who's kind of coming from the outside.
No, Brian in. Is just looking around.
No, but I mean, like, as somebody from the outside looking in, just kind of starting his way down this path, it's inspiring to see you guys have such passion and fire for the art. Anyways, yeah, that's my appreciate.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, you got an appreciate?
Yeah, I kind of want to do another vague shout out to a lot of small businesses. I live with my parents currently because I'm about to graduate in a week. Oh, I keep remembering that.
We
are doing our best to support like small business restaurants around here that are doing like takeout stuff in a way. And I am still finding, side note, I'm a coffee snob. I'm still finding random coffee companies that are like only selling their stuff online, or they don't have a shop, or like their main thing is to, so side plug, I found this just for an example. I found a company called Bigsby Coffee that roasts the beans when you order them, as opposed to already having them roasted. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get them, they're way more fresh. And to me, freshness in coffee is like 100% the key. Like, it can taste, it can not really have a flavor profile, but as long as it's fresh, it tastes pretty good. So I'm doing my best to find ways I can support small businesses. And the other one I have is music related. Dance Gavin Dance released a new album one day ago, and it's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And today is what's today, David?
Today.
My mom's birthday.
425. Today is also Rashad's mom's birthday.
Yeah, send her that love. You guys get the chance.
Happy, happy birthday, Rashad's mom. Okay.
They don't know that. That's a no. That's another Phantom Regiment like exclusive reference.
Cute.
All right.
Adorbs.
Wait. Am I allowed to ask this question? Do you guys have a favorite version of Happy Birthday?
Yes, it's that one.
Yeah, it's that one. Rashad, I'll send it to you.
Later. I'll send it. Yeah, find Rashad and send it to him.
Okay, hang on. I need to write down what I needed. I need to send.
Brian, go.
I would have to say, genuinely, I'm just thankful for like all of the people who are working very hard, like even though it's insanely stressful. Right now,
what are you talking about? Everything's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's fine. But like, I go into work at the hospital and I see like tired, like, just eyes behind all of the different masks and, like, glasses and things they have to have on for, like, their own personal protection. And, like, the people who are working in, like, the ICU or the other, like, places that have been sectioned off for, like, COVID patients are in just, like, almost full gear. They've got on, like, the N95 mask, and then they've got, like, the surgical mask over that for their entire shift, and a lot of them are pulling, like, 8-12-hour shifts, and I'm just like, more power to you, dog, because, like, I only come in for 8 hours, and I don't have to go, like, into interactions with patients, but it's still just, like, a lot, and they're doing great, and they're staying strong, staying resilient.
Huge shout-out really to those people.
Yeah.
On the front lines.
Retweet.
And then the other thing that I have that's kind of a shout out and an appreciation thing is that I've put together a little game show that I'm going to make these three play. And so far, none of them have backed out yet. So we're going to do great. And that's the other thing, because it's been
fun. This is me backing out right now.
No.
Rashad said deuces.
So that's my other shout out. Is that it's given me an opportunity to put something together that we can all enjoy.
When?
Right after this.
Stay tuned. Shout out to all the creative people. Content creation is something that I've been wanting to do for a really long time. When I was in high school, I'm super into technology. So I would make, like, review videos of technology that I would get in a mirror. I wouldn't record myself. I would just do it in the mirror. So making music, making content, making, you know, this quote unquote talk show, this podcast, is really cool. And if you have something like this, just go for it. Now's the best time to go for it. To tell everybody how easy it is. I'm using my personal computer. I'm using my phone to record my audio, and I'm using some headphones that I plugged into my computer. It's so easy to make, like, specifically a podcast. And so I just had to convince Brian to join me. So if you have something in mind, you have that creative side of you, use this time to find your creativity.
All right. Well, Ravi and Rashad, do you have anything you want to plug before we sign off?
Rashad, go ahead.
It's always Rashad.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on.
I'm holding.
Plug. Wait. You want me? Does it have to be a shout out? Or sorry, does it have to be a plug, or can it just be a shout out?
It can be whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay.
It has to be a out plug.
Sorry, plug seems like, when I hear plug, I'm thinking like a business or something, like
the fact that I drink Bang, please sponsor us.
Yeah, like that. See, but shout out could just be like, Brian got out of bed this morning. Like, shout out to him.
Hey, that was a hard
see?
Process
today. It is see? Always a hard thing to get out of bed.
But
Robbie,
yeah,
do you have anything?
Yeah, we'll go back to Robbie.
Sure. Yeah, go to Robbie. Yes. Oh, thank goodness.
Plug some band you found recently or anything like that.
I will plug the band AJR. They're my favorite band right now. I literally love them so much. And their producer and bandmate, Ryan, is an incredible mix engineer. He recently did this hour and a half thing where he just broke down the entire Pro Tools session for three of their most popular songs. And it was awesome. So definitely check them out.
That's cool.
Yes. Okay. If I'm going to shout out, plug, whatever, a musician, if you don't already know him, I would check out Tigran Hamasyan. Brian likes piano, so...
How are you going to spell that?
Okay. T-I-G-R-A-N is Tigran. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his first name wrong. And then Hamasyan, G-R-A-N, like tiger, but Tigran. And then...
wait, the Tiger King?
Tiger King.
Oh,
shout out to Tiger King.
Completely unrelated.
Carol Baskin.
And then I'm so hurt right now. And then Hamasyan, again, I guess, is Hama, like H A M A. And then Syan is S-Y-A-N.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, yeah. He, I mean, he's not just solo piano, but he stands out. And as for those of you listening who know your music theory, I guess to an extent, he's known for doing a lot of cool grooves and melodies across an odd meter thing. So it's like away from your, I don't mean basic in a bad way, but like 4/4, just like backbeat things. It's he's kind of putting some extra beats in there to maybe make it a what's the word? What's
complex?
La 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 la
like,
la la
la. What is it? Jazz fusion tap dance? You can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay.
Underwater basket weaving.
Underwater basket weaving. So yeah, that's him, and I appreciate him. He does some fun stuff. And then in terms of non-music things, I would look up, oh, Mock Root, by the way, is the album you should start with. Mock Root. That is mock as if Brian's mocking Rashad all the time. And then root. Root as if, yeah, the roots on a tree, just without the S, root. Mock Root, one word. And then on the video, I guess, level or whatever, YouTube, no one else here is going to like it, but I fell into a YouTube wormhole or whatever of this channel called Cut. They do a lot of, there's a whole bunch of different series, but the one I was watching was Lineup, and they'll just like, they'll take strangers and some topic and have those people interact on that topic. It could be something like, guess which one of these is a sex worker, just based on literally, I guess, appearance in the short minute interaction that you get with them. And yeah, it's just a cool like breakdown. I like social things and whatever. So it's just a cool breakdown of just like why people either stereotype or just like guess based on appearance, and then just like what people are thinking. And I don't know, it's entertaining in that way. And some of the people are funny, like the guessers, they're recurring. So if you want to get into that, you can. But there's all other topics on that. Again, the YouTube channel is Cut. That series was called Lineup, and that is my last thing for this. Rashad, tell people what's happening in the world.
Cool.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody, for your time and your plugs and your background and stories. Yeah.
Cool, 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 cool.
Cool, 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 cool.
Rashad's not going to say, and there's Rashad.
And he goes for Bert. Got it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Robbie and Rashad.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.